top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast is Friday, January 12th, 2018. And let me remind you that Monday is Martin Luther King Day, January 15th, coming up on the other side of this weekend. And I'm looking forward to the broadcast with Greg Fernandez Jr. And we'll be talking about David Crowley, the Gray State Project, some updates on that, and what I would call sort of a tie-in to nefarious interests meddling in people's lives, basically. You know, we'll probably deal, obviously, with the subject of Martin Luther King and the troubling reality of deep government involvement in Martin Luther King, in his life and in his death, unfortunately. And we'll probably include, among other things, some of the information, or at least refer to James Corbett's interview last year, I think it was last April, with William Pepper. And so that should be interesting. Anyway, I'm looking forward to that. That should be interesting. So tune in for that. That should be a fun broadcast. So, you know, when you hear guys like Larry Ellison say back in 2015, if you think stealing data is bad, wait until you can change data. He said hacking to change data has already been done in big ways. He said we did it. The U.S. did it before we signed an agreement with Iran to slow down their nuclear research. He was referring to the Stuxnet virus, a joint U.S.-Israel project known for reportedly destroying roughly a fifth of Iran's nuclear centrifuges by causing them to spin out of control. By the way, is that cyber terrorism? Oh, no, not when we do it. That's right. Only when other people do it, even though it is espionage and cyber terrorism. It's not, except when it is. We went into the centrifuges and made them go faster than they were supposed to go, he said. So, changing data. And so, skipping ahead, he says, when hackers master changing data, they could do things like change air traffic control data or change bank balances so they are all slightly different, he warned. Aha. But, you know, the blockchain is a distributed network on all of these different devices. And so, you know, we can apply encryption and other technologies to try to ostensibly prevent this, right? Well, not so fast. When you're hearing about chip level vulnerabilities, and what that means in simple terms is that we need to replace all these devices that have these chips with this vulnerability in them, but with what? Aha. See what I mean? Problem, reaction, solution. It's a setup. So from this article, again, Business Insider 2015, Larry Ellison at the tech conference talking about Oracle's always-on security. What is that? So he says, naturally, he wasn't just trying to scare the world. He thinks Oracle has solved the problem with manipulation of data with the new thing called always-on security in silicon. That means that products built with Oracle's latest M7 Spark chips released this week, this is back in 2015, will have a bunch of security features built into the chip and always turned on. IT professionals cannot turn these features off. For instance, with these chips, hackers won't be able to hack into computers' memory, which is their treasure trove for stealing data and also for changing it. And all data will also be encrypted with encryption and decryption work nearly instantaneously with no drag on computers' overall performance, he promised. And it's interesting to note, see, the performance drag is one of the big issues when it comes to encryption or this kind of encryption, you know, chip level essentially. And it's also interesting to note that if you've been following the security updates for this Meltdown Inspector vulnerability, so-called, they create these updates create a drain on performance anywhere from 5 to 30% across operating system platforms. So from Windows to the various Apple OSs to Android systems and Linux, 5 to 30% performance drag, which makes you wonder what's really going on here, right? But I digress. So this push will come to move toward chip-level encryption and devices with this kind of chipset that have chip-level encryption. The problem is to say that no one, you know, hackers won't be able to hack into your computer's memory, won't be able to steal or change your data is disingenuous. Most people won't be able to do it. And I would, the way I would phrase it is the folks that I least want to be able to do that will be the ones who can. This is the article, the Business Insider article points out, IT professionals cannot turn these features off. And this is what we're going to, you know. As I mentioned, I recently realized Windows 10 does not give you the ability to turn off automatic updates. You cannot disable that. There are a variety of ways to kind of trick that with duct tape and baling wire, so to speak, with your networking settings. But in truth, you cannot turn off automatic updates in Windows 10. It's software as a service. It's Windows as a service, they call it. And this is the direction things are moving. So, you know, there's the big decentralization argument, and folks want to make that argument with regard to blockchain. It's completely disingenuous. And this is exactly what always happens. You know, you have, for example, in the cryptocurrency world, you'll have a Wild West moment where there's some competition, and that's basically, it's a lean startup model, quite frankly. You put out all of these ideas, you have everyone spend their time and money building these different competing examples of something, and then when you, at the moment that you've sort of reached critical mass on the idea, you just start gobbling up all of the ideas. The good ones you buy up, the other ones you, maybe you buy those ones up too, or you destroy them with your own model. So this is no different than every other iteration of this kind that we've seen in the past, certainly in technology. So I think we can expect to see that. So it always concerns me, as I said in the first hour, when folks come and say, you know, for example, blockchain it's a distributed network. It's totally secure. I mean, that's, nothing could be more dangerous than to believe that statement, which I believe is entirely fallacious anyway. All of the web architecture is built on the underlying foundation of the ARPANET, essentially. You know, if you watch anything, lo and behold, Werner Herzog's documentary is a good one. You watch it, you'll hear from the guys who built it that there is no underlying security. The entire web architecture is built on an open network protocol, essentially. And the only way that you can even seek to address security on this platform is by creating layers of the onion that have to get peeled with encryption and other things and just slow people down, basically. So you know, these kinds of discussions, while they may sound enticing or intelligent to the neophyte, they're disingenuous, to say the least, and fallacious at worst, because it to make these claims is to basically not understand how the internet works in simple terms. And we see stories, I mean, I talk all the time, I've talked many times about how the ability existed before, but with the adoption of HTML5 a few years ago, it really, because of the new conventions in HTML5 that augment or formalize the ability to hijack microphones and video cameras in general on the web, HTML5 allows you to do that natively, if that makes sense. In the code, you don't. There are conventions and protocols to do that. You don't have to ask, and I've talked about this many times. If folks will try to dispute that from time to time, but it's irrefutable, and we see a number of articles that come up time and again that prove this. I'll get to one here in a second, but a couple first. Again, headlines that are at least approaching honesty, I think. Vox, another fun platform. This headline, though, I thought was good. Most harassment apologies are just damage control. I agree. You know, it's interesting, Oprah's Golden Globe speech, where has she been? This woman who has suffered from abuse herself, where has she been? When she was, all those years that she was palling around with guys like Harvey Weinstein, where has she been? A new day is dawning in Aquarian fashion. And suddenly now, you know, she's excited. Where has she been? No one has a more powerful, influential voice and platform than Oprah. Where has she been? Again, I digress. The Guardian, this article is interesting. Uber developed secret system to lock down staff computers in police raid. Yep. That's interesting. Speaking of state-sanctioned propaganda, literally and figuratively, VOA News. Freezing is extremely bad now, and it's just not going to stop no matter what is running on this system, which is interesting. By the way, if you're experiencing this as I am, I'm seriously considering, here's an alternative. This is what I'm probably going to end up doing, and I've done it in the past. I'm running Windows 10 right now, but I'll probably gravitate at least temporarily and actually for who knows how long to a Linux distribution or two or three. And what's fun about that, for folks that don't know, you can go over to Pendrive Linux, P-E-N, like pen, pencil or pen, pendrivelinux.com. And you can download boot installers onto a flash drive. There are a variety of ways to do this, but perhaps the simplest is to go to Pendrive Linux, download one of the boot drive installers Yummy, Y-U-M-I is one, and UUI is another. And you can check that out at pendrivelinux.com. But you can download those onto a flash drive, and it's an executable program. It'll create a boot disk, basically. First of all, you download a program, an executable program like your universal multi-boot installer. And the acronym for that is Yummy. So you download that, and that gives you the ability to then plug a flash drive into your system and use that flash drive as a bootable hard drive. So the Yummy program will format the flash drive to allow you to boot from it if you have your BIOS set up to boot from flash drive first, obviously. And all of that is explained at Pendrive Linux and other places if that doesn't make sense. But for those unfamiliar with it, it's actually a really easy way, without doing any kind of permanent alteration to a Windows PC, for example, it's a really simple, easy way to create an alternative when things like this happen. You know, when we get these kinds of security warnings, you can download a popular secure version of Linux. One of the best, perhaps, for a lot of people is either Ubuntu or CentOS, which, by the way, is what most of the servers in the world are running on. And so CentOS is an open source version of the proprietary Linux version that Red Hat runs. And because it's so well maintained, it's one of the most secure. So anyway, you can download these. You can download the ISO file, which is just a copy of the operating system. The Yummy program will install that on your flash drive. You tell it what you want to install. You just download a copy of the operating system, the ISO file of it. And again, all of that is explained over there. You drop that on your flash drive, and you can actually boot from the flash drive into a Linux operating system. And in many cases, for some people, the Linux distributions that have been created are a much better working environment than what Windows offers. It's, in many cases, less generic. There are some very specific distributions. You know, if you do a search, for example, for best Linux distributions in general, or best distributions for this or that, you'll see what I'm talking about. And so that's probably something that I will be doing later today, in fact. And so on this note and these stories, getting back to the Meltdown and Spectre vulnerabilities, it's interesting. Well, what's most interesting is that all devices seem to be not functioning properly all of a sudden. So Engadget ran this story earlier today. Google details how it protected services like Gmail from Spectre. Google says it already deployed anti-Spectre and Meltdown solutions to protect its products. And users didn't even notice. The downside of the patches companies are rolling out to fix the CPU vulnerabilities is that they have the potential to slow down systems. Like I said, for the big G, that's an interesting way to put that. Is that a Masonic esoteric reference? That means slowdown for huge services like Gmail, Google Drive, and Search, and its cloud products. Mountain View had to gather hundreds of engineers working across the company to find a way to protect its products. After a few months, they found a solution for Meltdown and the first variant of Spectre, two of the three vulnerabilities, which they then started rolling out way back in September. Google says it didn't get any complaint reporting performance degrading after it deployed the fix. However, the second variant of Spectre proved a lot more problematic. Google's engineers thought the only way to protect against it was to switch off the CPU features that made the chips vulnerable to attackers. Excuse me. Unfortunately, doing that slowed down applications considerably and caused inconsistent performance. So the tech titan had to look at an unusual or moonshot solution. It found the answer in retpulling, a technique conjured up by Google senior staff engineer Paul Turner, which, quote, modifies programs to ensure that execution cannot be influenced by an attacker, end quote. Retpulling allowed Google to protect its services from a second variant of Spectre without having to modify source codes or to switch off hardware components, and by December, the company was done rolling out protections against all three variants. Google reiterates that it received no support tickets related to the updates, but then again, people might have attributed their complaints to other things. Yeah, especially if you don't know that these patches have been applied, obviously. Why would you complain about something you don't know? Which kind of reminds me of FOIA requests that are unanswered or ignored if they don't specifically request exactly, a precise document or document title, for example. It's absurd. Well, you didn't ask for this document, so we're not going to give it to you. Well, how are we supposed to know what the name of a document is? Same thing in this case. You know, people. Well, nobody complained. Yeah, they didn't know that a patch was applied, let alone what it was or to complain about it. Google considers this set of vulnerabilities, quote, the most challenging and hardest to fix it's had to deal with in the past decade. And again, it's interesting to note that Google AlphaZero was involved in identifying these vulnerabilities, which again kind of calls to mind the gaming of people, pushing folks along a continuum to get people to do things that they otherwise wouldn't do. I mean, I think it's a scare tactic, and it kind of coincides with what I said at the close of last year, that I think we're going to see a new, more sophisticated wave of this kind of stuff. And I would love to be wrong, but it seems in these cases, usually the suspicion is proven well-founded, unfortunately. So we're seeing a lot more of this. An example is a story that was just published in fizz.org. Finnish firm detects new Intel security flaw. This is earlier today. A new security flaw has been found in Intel hardware, which could enable hackers to access corporate laptops remotely, Finnish cybersecurity specialist F-Secure said on Friday. F-Secure said in a statement that the flaw had nothing to do with the Spectre and Meltdown vulnerabilities recently found in the microchips that are used in almost all computers, tablets, and smartphones today. Rather, it was an issue with Intel Active Management Technology, AMT, which is commonly found in most corporate laptops and allows an attacker to take complete control over a user's device in a matter of seconds, the cybersecurity firm said. The issue potentially affects millions of laptops globally. And, you know, all of this really, again, is pushing toward what I said last year, and I'll say it again, and you're undoubtedly going to hear about this. There's going to be more software as a service rolling out, like this Windows as a service. You'll see less of an ability to turn off automatic updates in anything, whether it be an operating system or a browser or an app or whatever. Because with machine learning, you can have machine learning comb a code base iteratively for vulnerabilities. And once it finds a vulnerability, it can exploit that real time. In other words, immediately. It can deploy and exploit worldwide immediately. And if that happens, obviously nothing anywhere has time to write a patch in advance of the exploit being deployed, because it hasn't even been identified by anything but machine learning at that point, if that makes sense. So that's a real scenario. It's a real possibility. And you'll see more of that. I mean, with the artificial intelligence libraries floating around, like TensorFlow, for example, that you can download, you know, all you have to do is type git clone and the address, and boom, it's on your server or your system if you're operating in the shell. You know, this is easy stuff. Anybody can download it and deploy this machine learning, which is frightening when you listen to the you know, folks like Elon Musk and Bill Gates and Stephen Hawking and the other tech experts who've signed on that say artificial intelligence is potentially dangerous. We need to be careful about what we're doing. So anyway, we'll see more of this. A push to lock down chipsets, a push to lock you out of automatic updates and things like that. More what I call assumptive tyranny, basically. But getting back to the point here. You know, and real quick, speaking of all this kind of stuff, I'm going to probably become known as the guy, one of the guys, who rails against cryptocurrency, and I don't want to do that, but I really do believe that cryptocurrency is the Revelation 13 economy coming to manifest. And the Reuters headline is provocative. South Korea plans to ban cryptocurrency trading, rattles market. Is South Korea banning cryptocurrency trading? Stick around, we'll be right back to the show.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product! It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hey, can we talk about something serious for a minute? Your age. Getting old has its perks. But remember, being a few years younger, you know, your hair was thicker, you didn't have so many wrinkles, that extra weight wasn't haunting you, and you just felt better. Well, we can't turn back the clocks and go back 10 or 15 years, but you can start feeling and looking 10 or 15 years younger with Nature's Youth RSF. It's a doctor-formulated daily supplement that helps your body maintain its peak performance and fight the aging process. Imagine sleeping better, looking better, and feeling better. See how Nature's Youth RSF has helped thousands of people just like you at naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com. The holidays are coming. Imagine how it will feel when your family and friends are asking you what you did to look so good. Your secret will be Nature's Youth RSF. It's time to start looking better and feeling better. Learn more and order your Nature's Youth RSF at naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com.
you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now, and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
When you were here before, I couldn't look you in the eye. You're just like an angel. Your skin makes me cry. You float like a feather in a beautiful world. I wish I was special. You're so very special, but I'm a creep. I'm a weirdo. What the hell am I doing here?
All right, welcome back. Bottom of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast is Friday, January 12th, 2018. Again, Monday is Martin Luther King Day. We'll be live. I'll be talking to Greg Fernandez Jr., and that should be a great broadcast. We'll kind of incorporate elements of the Martin Luther King discussion. William Pepper will be an essential part of that, obviously. As one of the foremost authorities on the subject, and Greg and I will be talking about David Crowley and the Gray State topic as well. One of the stories that I want to get back to before we run away, I'll come back to cryptocurrency stuff later, but I do think that is an interesting Reuters headline. South Korea plans to ban cryptocurrency trading, rattles market. Why is that? And again, I think it's very provocative that Google's AlphaZero team and machine learning, artificial intelligence, was one of the first, if not the first, to the scene in discovering the Meltdown and Spectre vulnerabilities. How convenient, I would say. Anyway, a few other headlines, and then there's this one that I want to get to that I think is a big deal. So I mentioned the DNA stuff. Gizmodo story: Ancestry made its privacy policy more transparent, but it still claims to own your DNA. Did you catch that? This is the Gizmodo headline from yesterday. Ancestry made its privacy policy more transparent, but it still claims to own your DNA. And then listen to the, I mean, this is where we're at in America, which reminds me of the RAND Corporation, Four Quadrants, the study that RAND did that said, here are the things people are ready for now. Here are the things that people, we still need to soften them up for in the future, including stem cell research and things like that. By the way, it was Microsoft that recently announced, right, that it wants to, let's see, where is that? Yeah. That was Gizmodo's story yesterday. Microsoft wants to use artificial intelligence to make CRISPR more accurate. We are crossing every potential line at breakneck speed. We can't cross them fast enough these days, it seems. And I'll talk more about that next week. I intended to today, but there are perhaps two primary problems with what's happening these days, and it all really hangs on that spiritual battle. Really, it all comes back to that. The discussion begins and ends with that. But because we're immersed in this and marinated in this dialectical reasoning or thinking, which is sort of an oxymoron, we will just go along with anything as long as there's a good argument. Well, there's a chip vulnerability. Wait a second. Let's step back. You know, Facebook's reworking because maybe we should just get rid of it. The FBI creates terrorists. Well, we should refine it. Maybe we should just get rid of it. The CIA created the Afghan Mujahideen and the Taliban and Al-Qaeda and ISIS, et cetera, et cetera. We're working with partners like Saudi. Maybe we should just get rid of it. Why not? But you never hear that call, do you? Funny that. So from that article, Ancestry made its privacy policy more transparent, but it still claims to own your DNA. Here are the opening words from that story. When you spit in a test tube in hopes of finding out about your ancestry, you're giving companies like Ancestry DNA access to a whole lot of very intimate details about what makes you you. But how consumer genetic testing companies actually use your DNA is often obscured behind many pages of vague jargon-filled legalese. As I recently explored, those agreements can hide some rather terrifying clauses. And this isn't even the worst of it, by the way. I'll leave it to the listener to read that Gizmodo article. Again, the headline, Ancestry made its privacy policy more transparent, but it still claims to own your DNA. What are the implications there? Think about it. This is an interesting story in The Guardian today. Uber developed secret system to lock down staff computers and police raid. I mentioned that one earlier. In the truth in advertising section, I'd maybe include this fizz.org headline from today. Jetstream changes since 1960s linked to more extreme weather. Do you think? What's been going on? Speaking of geoengineering. But getting to the article that I really wanted to get to, you should read this over the weekend. I'll give you some excerpts from it. The worst of it is perhaps how the article ends, but this is by no means, by the way, reserved to this one individual who unfortunately looks kind of like Chris Stapleton. So the Daily Beast ran the article earlier today, very early today. Teen hacker grew up to be spyware super creep, FBI says. And these are exactly the kinds of guys that the FBI wants to recruit. So you read all of these intimate details and you wonder, how in the world do they know all of this stuff on this guy? And it's because, you know, the broader intelligence community is spying on all of us all the time, finding and often recruiting guys like this, but certainly knowing about everything that goes on like this, because after all, the playing field is the ARPANET. So from the story, even as a child, Philip Durachinsky made headlines with his computer skills, which wasn't so long ago, by the way. But in computer and internet years, you know, it's like a million years ago. It's like dog years. Ohio newspapers profiled the high schooler for his back-to-back programming championship wins in 2005 and 2006, but the FBI claims Dyrchinsky was already years into a hacking career that would lead to his indictment on hacking, child porn, wiretapping, and identity theft charges Wednesday. That's this week. From 2003 until 2017, feds say Dyrchinsky led an escalating series of hacks. His alleged masterpiece was a spyware called Fruit Fly, which could record people without their knowledge and collect personal records. The virus also allegedly collected banking records, personal communications, and pornography searches, giving Dyrchinsky millions of pieces of compromising material on victims. It was a culmination of hacks the Ohio man carried out since 2003 when he was just 13, feds say. 13 years old. So, you know, I mean, the NSA, this is, you know, exactly the kind of person that they want to recruit. As a high school senior in 2007, Dyrchinsky told his local newspaper that he hoped to write a program that would make his computer play music. So, bookmark that soundbite in your mind. As a high school senior, Dyrchinsky told his local newspaper that he hoped to write a program that would make his computer play music, which is, you know, this is a weird aspect of the story. I don't know what the connection is, but I'm sure there is one. Dyrchinsky was in the spotlight as he prepared to enter a high school computer competition when he and a teammate had won the previous 2 years. A teacher told the paper that Dyrchinsky had taken every computer class the school had to offer. Skipping ahead, a former classmate from Dyrchinsky's high school programming club remembered him as very knowledgeable and clever with computers. He talked about a lot of fairly advanced computer things, a former classmate told the Daily Beast. All stuff that I ended up learning about in my computer science undergrad classes later, though, which is also interesting for a variety of reasons. But away from the headlines, Dyrchinsky was working on another project. According to a federal indictment that claims he began hacking computers in 2003. That was as a freshman, presumably. Soon, Dyrchinsky allegedly graduated to building spyware, beginning August 2011. And by the way, you know, this, I mean, it sounds deeply conspiratorial. Most of that kind of technology is available for download on the dark web, and you can recruit folks to build stuff for you. You can buy stuff kind of like you buy on eBay or Amazon. There's a huge black market for this kind of stuff. To say that Dyrchinsky, you know, just suddenly rolled something of his own is entirely disingenuous. And by the way, most of those things out on the dark web have roots or strong connections at the very least to the Intel community, to say the least, but I digress. And that's a fact that's been proven and stated and restated time and again. So soon Dyrchinsky allegedly graduated to building spyware beginning in August 2011 when he would have been entering his senior year at Case Western Reserve University. Dyrchinsky allegedly released his spyware like a fly on the wall. Listen to this. Fruit Fly could see victims inside their homes. The spyware could turn on computers and microphones, infected computers. The spyware could turn on computers and microphones in infected computers and record without the victim's knowledge, according to the indictment, which lists multiple instances in which Dyrchinsky allegedly used the microphone to snoop on private conversations. Again, this is not unique. The program also allegedly took pictures of banking information, emails, medical records, and in some cases, quote, alerted Dyrchinsky if a user typed words associated with pornography. The department, end quote. The Department of Justice said in a press release, quote, according to the indictment, Dyrchinsky saved millions of images and often kept detailed notes of what he saw. That's a kind of misleading statement. No one's typing notes on millions of images. It's impossible. But there's more to the story. Anyway, Dyrchinsky is also accused of creating and distributing child pornography from 2011 to 2017, although the indictment does not specify whether he obtained the illegal footage from hacked computers. But a slip up, and this is interesting. You know, a guy that's this sophisticated and this far along doesn't make a mistake like this far along in his hacking career. A slip up on a school computer would be Dyrchinsky's downfall. In January 2017, security researchers found malware on computers at Case Western. An FBI investigation found more than 100 school computers infected with the mystery bug, which had been on the machine for several years, quote unquote, according to a separate criminal complaint filed last year. But Dyrchinsky hadn't covered his tracks, authorities said. Ah, yes. And this is disingenuous. This gets back to my point about how if you talk to him, he'll probably say, well, it's not that he didn't cover his tracks. It's more accurately that this, all of these spyware and malware programs that are either purchased on the dark web or rolled from something purchased on the dark web usually have backdoors that both alert the intelligence community and allow them to hijack the spyware that you've rolled. So they're voyeurs through your voyeurism, if that makes sense. They're tunneling through your activity, which is peculiar and particularly creepy, but I digress. Anyway, so Dyrchinsky, the story says, hadn't covered his tracks, authorities said. The malware was associated with an IP address, which Dyrchinsky had also used to access his alumni email account, investigators found. Days after researchers found the bug on Case Western's computers, the FBI seized Dyrchinsky's laptop, where they found the control system for the malware and detailed notes, including social security numbers and passwords, scraped from infected computers. That investigation appears to have been the basis for the Wednesday indictment against Dyrchinsky, which alleged Fruit Fly had infected thousands of computers. Quote, this defendant is alleged to have spent more than a decade spying on people across the country and accessing their personal information, end quote. First Assistant U.S. Attorney David Salerja said in a statement. And the story concludes with this sentence, which I think is very bizarre. The final sentence of the story over the Daily Beast is this. It's unclear if Dyrchinsky ever built the music program he wanted to create as a teenager. Is this an Alice in Wonderland PSYOP story? I really don't understand what the connection is there. I have a hard time believing, after all of that information, that Kelly Weil, the author of the article, is genuinely concerned with whether or not Philip Dyrchinsky was able to complete the music program he wanted to create as a teenager. It's very, very weird. Is this some kind of allusion to guys like Sean Parker and a Napster sort of scenario, or am I missing something? Anyway, it's very odd and very creepy. Again, I would encourage you to read the story and circulate it widely. That's the Daily Beast story. Again, titled Teen Hacker Grew Up to Be Spyware Super Creep, FBI says. But what's even super creepier, again, is that these tools and the toolboxes are floating around in the toolkits and tool belts of contractors and all kinds of folks all over the place. Again, going back to 2007, R.J. Hillhouse wrote the book Outsourced, in which he showed that the intelligence community is predominantly, not sort of, but predominantly outsourced to private companies like Booz Allen Hamilton. And they have these kinds of tools at their disposal, as WikiLeaks has proven in the Vault 7 dumps, among others. But I digress. Stick around. We'll be right back. Final segment coming up right after this short break.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER, stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. heart attack, or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation, and Angioprim is the result. A safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
It's the good life, full of fun, seems to be the ideal. Yes, the good life lets you hide all the sadness you feel. You won't really fall in love, 'cause you can't take the chance. So be honest with yourself, don't try to fake romance. It's the good life to be free and explore the unknown. Like the heartaches when you learn, you must face them alone. Please remember, I still want you. And in case you wonder why, well, just wake up, kiss that good life goodbye.
Welcome back. The voice of Sinatra, he always softens the blow, doesn't he? I just pushed this message over to the board op, and I'll leave you with kind of this thought as far as this technology is concerned. I often, in other words, always, wonder how many of these updates are predicated on malicious scripts, so-called, released by the platforms or orgs themselves in an effort to get people to update. Want to push an update? Release a malicious, covert, subversive script even if by way of third party, so as to avoid detection or connection, you know, having things tied back to you, and maintain plausible deniability in the process. It's just a thought, but you will recall perhaps two things that I've mentioned as far as this issue of privacy and security is concerned. Both are a myth on the web, and that's a proven fact. Two of the best examples are Paul Ohm's brilliant research paper published back in 2009 titled Broken Promises of Privacy, responding to the surprising failure of anonymization. There is no anonymity in the web. If you read that paper, you can come away with no other conclusion. That's just a fact, and it will never go away. Just because people are Luddites when it comes to the technology or neophytes doesn't mean that it's not possible. And, you know, just because Clark's third law is a thing for you doesn't mean that it's not just technology and not magic. The second piece that's important in this security and anonymity discussion, I think one of the best, is that peculiar conversation that was had on Warren Olney's obscure public broadcast program, his broadcast to the point. The title of that interview back on May 29, 2009 was Another Czar at the Obama White House, with the legendary cybersecurity experts James Lewis, Paul Light, John Arquilla, and Tom Kellerman. This is the who's who of the cybersecurity world. And Warren Olney just happened to have these guys on his broadcast the very day the Obama administration made the big announcement. But you recall, they talked about the fact that basically the intelligence community is connected to the hacking that goes on. And John Arquilla made the provocative statement, I think the biggest problem that we have today is a Maginot Line mentality. We believe in things like firewalls, and my master hacker friends say there are no such thing as firewalls. A weird statement for URI, but for John Arquilla, just another day at the office. Anyway, I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Tune in Monday for the live Martin Luther King broadcast with Greg Fernandez Jr. I hope you have a great weekend. Take care. God bless. And we'll catch you on the other side.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.